It's the same old story. It's been a long day at the job, or maybe it's just starting to feel long, and you feel that urge to stretch your legs and get a little bit of a break. You walk down the street, or maybe you get behind the wheel of your car, and you feel the weight begin to lift. You walk through the doors, and the sound of the place starts to clear the air. You get a table, you order your drink, you listen to the sounds of the bar, and soak in the conversation. Welcome to the TNE Speakeasy, with your hosts, Eric, Isaac, and Caleb. Listen in as they discuss a variety of topics, such as the Ahsoka series, the One Piece live-action show, and adaptations we like.
You have finally, like, either seen the light or seen the, like, entered the darkness. That is the after, like, Caleb hit the nail on the coffin right there. Of, you know, the Clone Wars is out of place when it comes to Star Wars, and same with Ahsoka herself.
See, Isaac, if you would have said that you were here, I would have been recording all that.
I was really hoping you could have recorded.
I was going to say, even when he wasn't here, I was going to say you should just be recording this anyway. I don't know why, though.
That's totally fine.
Is that what Caleb was saying? What you just said, Isaac? Like, your assessment? Because I'm not even sure. And I'm not even sure if that's what I'm saying. I mean, your assessment of what I said. But I, from my perspective... whether it's this or whatever it is, I always remain consistent to what I think in the moment and what I've thought in the past. Like, I don't consider myself someone who changes with the winds generally when it comes to this kind of stuff, whether it's Star Wars or Star Trek or whatever it is. I may be a super fan of Clone Wars in comparison to you. But I don't consider myself a super fan of Clone Wars. Feel like I really appreciate the good parts of it. And then there's bad parts, but there's no reason, like, or middling parts, but there's no reason to dwell on those parts of the show.
Yeah, for context for this, for compared to a super fan, I don't know if, Isaac, you were there when I was mentioning that there was someone in, a couple people actually, one of my collectors' Facebook groups, and he was going off about how, you know, this new Ahsoka episode was the best piece of Star Wars that we've had. It was, like, Star Wars' greatest moment. And how he was insulting people who don't like the Clone Wars and only like the original trilogy. He even went as far as to say that if Return of the Jedi is a masterpiece with all of its silliness, which I don't know what he was talking about with silliness, he said then Clone Wars should be considered just as much of a masterpiece and that it's arguably better and more creative than anything in the original trilogy. And yeah, he was going hard. That was a super fan.
Yeah, that's super fan. See, I'm not anywhere near that. I think Clone Wars is very respectable overall, but I have to put an asterisk, which is you need to trim the fat to have that opinion. Because if you truly include all of it, that's really going to bring down the average overall. I'm more focused on, like, the good episodes or the significant episodes. I half agree with the sentiment of this person I don't know, just in the sense that I don't think anybody has to watch Clone Wars, certainly not all of Clone Wars, like anyone who's a fan. But if a person is, though, a pretty big fan of Star Wars in general to some degree, at the very least, they should check out some episodes of Clone Wars. I can't imagine why you'd completely dismiss it. Or any of the other of the good animated series, because there's some that aren't that great under the new era, but some, because a lot of it is really worthwhile, and the other faction of people, and it applies to Star Wars and Star Trek and other things, the ones who are just like, I cannot watch an animated program or a kid show. That's another extreme position to me, like on the other end of the spectrum, which is, I don't get either. But whatever.
Yeah, just to clarify what I was saying earlier about the continuity thing. I mean, I've always struggled to see how Ahsoka genuinely fits. Like, I just can't picture her anywhere in those prequels. And what I was more meaning is actually seeing Hayden Christensen playing her version of Anakin, the version that she interacts with. That, for me, solidified how little sense it makes that she would actually be his Padawan. And especially watching that Clone Wars finale, her reuniting with him while he's going through his, like, evil turn. Like, it's, like, right before is when she meets up with him.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it's like, whoa, like, this, I just cannot imagine that cutaway scene in Revenge of the Sith.
Okay, I kind of see more what you're saying now. And, yeah. Again, I'm reaching back to distant memories, but I think when Filoni was plotting this in Clone Wars series, he took this into account on what you're talking about what's in the actual movies. Because, you know, spoiler, but he knew that time was coming where Anakin was getting pre-Vader and pre-Sith, Revenge of the Sith movie. So, by design, Filoni wrote it into the Clone Wars series how Ahsoka gets separated, like, way well before the events of Sith, that she gets separated from, like, Anakin and Obi-Wan and everybody else, and goes off and does her own thing for a time, which helps, because then she didn't really interact with Anakin during, like, his real changing to the dark side, or his whatever gradual descent. And that's supposed to be part of all this guilt that her character has now in the current show, in the current time, because she thinks that maybe if she didn't abandon him, if she hadn't left, that maybe he wouldn't have gone all the way down this path that he went down or whatever. So, I mean, you're kind of right, Caleb. Like, it's hard to picture him being there interacting with her in that time period, but they didn't really, for the most part, by design.
Yeah, I guess made the best of a bad situation, retroactively putting her in there. But
also, the stuff is really brief, but I would also recommend you or anyone watch the what is it called? Tales of the Jedi? The little mini-sodes. Like, there's only six of them that came out, like, 6 months ago or whatever it was. Those really fill in even more nice little character gaps with, like, Ahsoka, Anakin. And then there's some other ones with Dooku as well. Like, they make Dooku a much more interesting character after you watch those Tales of a Jedi.
Nah.
Hey, they're short. At the very least, they're short. I mean, you can watch all of them, like, in an hour or something.
Yeah.
And they're really good. They're really good.
I still gotta watch Visions. I just can never make the time for that show.
Well, Visions, though, that can just be done anytime. You know what I mean? Because they're specifically not canon. They're, you know, individual reimaginings, or I don't know what you want to call them. But I was gonna bring those up when we were watching Hidden Fortress, because a number of those Visions lean heavy into, like, the samurai influence stuff, and so while watching Hidden Fortress, I was thinking a lot of Visions.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Although, I didn't care for season 2 as much, though. Season 1, though, of Visions. Season 1 was better.
Well, Isaac, do you have anything to say about all this stuff before we, I guess, move on to the main event?
You see why I wait. I have to wait my turn, because Eric has many, many things on his mind. I have to let him get them all out, or else. For that super fan on your Facebook group, or whatever it is, he's sharing his opinion. I wonder if his opinion can hold true. I'm not going to say that, you know, anything I spew out is you know, fact or fiction. Actually, I think it's mostly fiction. I'm an uneducated person, so I know that everything I say on this channel really doesn't have any meaning or clarity. It's all just opinions, and I'm not... And I cannot, like, objectively... bring concrete evidence as to support whether or not something, my claims, are real or not. So I'm just as...
Especially with Clone Wars.
Yeah, especially with Clone Wars. So his you know, he's spewing out all that shade or whatever. Yeah, he's probably right. He's probably... I'd like to ask him on his opinion of that, of course. I think we need to, like, have a debate as to what he's referring to. You know, the traditional sense where there's no name-calling and there's no mudslinging. If that immediately happens, then he automatically loses the argument and we'll have to start all over again because you you can't do that. So I definitely would like to issue a statement of let's hold a debate. We're gonna hold a debate between myself and this fellow. If you can contact him, we're gonna make a debate happen.
I don't. That sounds like a terrible idea.
I agree.
It is
because of how this unknown person comes off just from Caleb's description, and then if you march in there with your self-deprecating self.
And being like, I've only seen the first season back when it aired.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sounds like, yeah, sounds terrible. No, but I got something more to say before we get into the...
What a shock.
Main event, which has to do with this, what we're talking about, and then also simultaneously has to do with what we're talking about and has nothing to do with what we're talking about at the same time. I've already mentioned this a little bit to Caleb, but not to you, Isaac, obviously. But... The other thing that unfortunately highlights some of these flaws to me in the current Ahsoka series, not flaws, but what makes it seem not as amazing as these other fans are claiming, is just television in general. So then how could it be the best Star Wars if I don't even think of it's the best television in general? It's because, unfortunately, the One Piece live action came out on Netflix a couple weeks ago, and I started watching it about a week ago, the live action, and I'd only seen 20 episodes of the anime about 3 years ago, and that's kind of all the exposure to One Piece I ever had before. And so I started watching the live action, and it's incredibly good. If you haven't heard already, it's clearly the best anime live action adaptation ever, because there's not really any competition. But also, not only is it like the best adaptation, I think it's actually much better than the original anime as well. On top of that, it's like the best version, at least for this section of One Piece. And in over the course of 4 days, I watched the live action series, which is eight 1 hour episodes. I watched the whole series 3 times through already, and I restarted the anime from the first episode, and I got through 50 episodes of the anime in 4 days. And it's, I'm just all in. It's incredible. But the live action in general, the show is so good in so many different ways, in the casting, the acting, the writing, the pacing, the action, the choreography, like just like story design, plot arcs, character development. It's just so amazing, like on every front. And then I'm watching this Star Wars show that everyone's telling me is like the best Star Wars ever. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I can't put that all together. It doesn't make any sense when there's this other property out there that's like so much better. So how could this be the best Star Wars? You understand what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't compute. Because that would mean Star Wars is really bad compared to a lot of other things if this is the best Star Wars.
Well, I think most Star Wars is really bad when compared to a lot of other things. So, not surprising.
And then, funny enough, even though One Piece, I don't know how familiar you guys are with it or that universe or whatever, and even though it's not Star Wars, obviously, and it's so different, it does, like other animes do as well, it taps into like the original essence of the original trilogy. It reminds me of the feeling I had when the original trilogy was a new thing and how it felt fresh compared to other things at the time. Like One Piece very much captures that essence, I think, better than modern Star Wars does as well, because it just reminds me of like when you're watching the original trilogy and you're not like before you have it all memorized and before you know it all, and it's just like, oh, we're going to Tatooine, what is this, and Hoth, what is this, and Cloud City, and Endor, when it was all new and fresh, that's what One Piece feels like as you're watching it. Like, it's like that original Star Wars feeling of this unknown world, and like you have no idea what could be next. So whatever. It's my two cents. It's exceptionally good.
Watched it 3 times in how many days did you say? The whole series?
4 days.
Oh my goodness.
Watched the whole series 3 times and watched 50 episodes of the anime in the same 4 days.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done that much of anything in that short a period of time.
Isaac, or
so when are you gonna read the manga?
I don't know, because I used to try to keep up with some mangas and animes. Like, I tried it with Naruto and One Punch, and a little bit with the original Dragon Ball, but it's just too difficult. I mean, to juggle both, because I'll be like, oh, okay, I'll read like 3 volumes of manga, and then I'll get to watch 5 episodes of anime, and then like go back and forth. But I'm just like, screw that. Let me just watch it. Yeah, I just rather go with the watching route, just because it's quicker and to the point. You know, maybe I'll look up some of the significant moments and look at the manga just for select moments. But come on, there's 1,075 episodes, and there's still, you know, there'll be a new one next week. And then to read the volumes, I don't know that I could read 100 volumes of manga to try to catch up with something like One Piece. Yeah, I'm good. I mean, manga's cool, I mean, to read it, but I'm good, I think.
I'm going to bring some cynicism right now.
All right.
I wonder at what point, which season, because it's bound to happen nowadays. Well, actually, first off, I don't even know when the next season's going to happen at all.
Of what?
The show just of One Piece.
Oh, they announced it just like the other day.
So who's going to write it?
I don't know who even the primary writers are on season one. All I know is, you know, the original creator, Oda, has had a lot to do with season one, and I have no reason to see why he won't, because it was actually a video of him on Japanese Netflix, which announced the season two.
Oh.
Just a couple of days ago. You can see the video on YouTube. That's how I found out. It's actually Oda with his face covered, of course.
Yes.
And he announces season two is like official or on or whatever.
He keeps his face covered for interviews and stuff.
There's a lot of people like that in Japan where the,
yeah, a lot of manga writer artists are like that. Yeah.
Even I've forgotten his name, but the Ghost in the Shell creator, he also goes on, well, not a name, but unseen. He prefers to be a little bit more recluse, or at least, you know, have some anonymity to himself, which is,
yeah, the One Piece guy is the same way.
Yeah, especially when you've written that much. I only say this cynically. This part's not cynical, but it's just like, all right, so was this a Japanese-American production, co-production between the two, just because currently right now there is no America. Like, there's no American Hollywood right now. It's all shut down because, you know, the workers want their rights.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. So they won't be able to start actually producing it until all that strike business is worked out. I hear it's all written, though, the television season two. But no, yeah, they can't produce it. No, it's definitely an American-Canadian production?
Of course.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Caleb, it was filmed here. I'm throwing it out there. It was filmed here. Why not? Yeah, no, it was.
I just assumed it was.
I Netflix. Think so. A lot of it's on green screen or blue screen.
Fucking crap.
But I do think there's some bits where I have to go back and look again.
All right. Well, when we do Netflix's Last Airbender, Caleb, we're gonna like look in the background and see that, you know, the One Piece crew is is right over there.
Yeah, if you If you can peer behind the volume screens, you'll see the other studio.
Yeah. Not only that, but like, you remember the episode in book one with pirates and the waterbending scroll? Yeah, those pirates will be, is it the Jolly Roger? I forget the name of the ship.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
Luffy. Extra from One Piece.
There you go. It'll just be all of Luffy and his crew.
The
Going Merry. Thank you very much, sir. You should know this. Yeah, exactly. So, but I guess my question here is, I'm going to make a statement of how long before, so let's ignore the fact that, you know, there's a strike going on, right? Not one eye, but I understand. I'm just saying, let's just, you know, for the sake of the argument, there's no more strike. So this move gets made. I wonder how long, because this may be on the American side. I don't know. It not even happens up here. But I do wonder how long before the series bites off more than it can chew and gets too ambitious, and then the writing starts to, you know, go downhill. We saw this in The Walking Dead. We saw this in Game of Thrones. It's at some point, there's a click when there's an ongoing series going on that the writing will eventually become ambitious.
Right, but see, the thing, those two shows, they have things that got in their way. Like The Walking Dead they were under the constraint of trying to put out too many live action episodes to cover the source material, and in a weird way they were almost like they were adding filler themselves, like to the show, like to draw it out. And then with Game of Thrones, obviously they went beyond the source material, and that's when that really dropped off. But then when they made House of Dragon, which again was based upon source material, and with assistance of what's his name?
George R. R. Martin.
Yeah, I was going to say J.R.R. Tolkien. Yeah, Martin.
Same guy.
So House of Dragon is drastically an improvement over like the horrible seasons of Game of Thrones. So much better and on track, although it's unfortunate that they severed ways with Martin. I don't know how that's going to bode for the future.
Well, it's going downhill. It's, you know what that means. It's going downhill. Is it the same guys, by the way? Or, like, sorry, is it the same showrunner?
No. Same guys. No, different showrunners. House of Dragon is drastically improved, and it's Game of Thrones way back on track and much better. And then this one, I don't know who all the particulars are in the writing team. I'm pretty sure they're Americans, though. But I've heard rumor that they're thinking they're aiming for 6 seasons. And judging what they've done with the first season, I can't imagine how it could have possibly been done better, because it's eight 1 hour episodes, but it's a concise, better telling of the first 48 to 50 episodes of the anime. And I think that's really good. And see, that's not the way Walking Dead was done. You know, they started off being much more, I don't know if you're allowed to use the term slavish anymore, slavish to the source material, until they started getting into weird stuff. I mean,
burdened?
Yeah. That's kind of how the first two Harry Potter movies were as well. Like, hearkening like too strictly to the source material. Whereas One Piece, they take the best parts and they make it better, and they cut all whoever's in charge, they're very good at what they're doing as far as editing it down and just making it so much better for like hour long episode format. They cut all the unnecessary stuff, and then they add in things to add context, like in really creative ways. Because I'm enjoying watching the anime, but the live action is just better in so many ways. And there's so many reasons why it's good. I didn't even mention the score is incredible. And at first I thought the score was largely original. But now that I've watched more of the anime, I actually see now how they did the same thing with the score. They took like key elements and then just made them better for the live action score. It's just, yeah. And I don't know who ever would have thought that casting a Mexican actor in the lead, not a Mexican-American, a Mexican actor in the lead, I don't think anyone saw that as a good idea. But the dude is incredible in the role. And supposedly Oda chose him himself. But the guy's incredible. I can't imagine Luffy being anyone else. And I almost feel like when I watch the anime, I'm watching fake Luffy. Because the live action one is just so incredible.
6 seasons. You know, as long as... So they either go full on like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, not Brotherhood, but the original Full Metal Alchemist, or similar to Hellsing, the original one, excuse me, where if they, because, you know, that Oda, he's still going, like he's still writing, he's still spitting this whole story out. Like, congratulations to you, Oda. But you know, they're gonna have to have an ending. They will have to have an ending, and obviously don't ask Oda what that is. I mean, I assume it's Luffy and the crew finding One Piece. Like, that's the whole point of the show, I believe. So, or the story, excuse me. So that's, you know, do your own thing. That's what I want. It's what I said in our Ghost in the Shell 2017 commentary, which is like, you know, do your own thing. You know, it's, I know this is like similar to a remake and what Caleb has said recently, or whatnot, but, or maybe not, sorry, I think it's something else, Caleb, I apologize. But just, yeah, adapt. Don't just do word for word the story, because we were...
Oh, they're not.
Because, yeah, like, what we said in the Ghost in the Shell commentary was, if you move away from all this iconography from Ghost in the Shell, it actually would be a better story.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what they're... Yeah, so they're taking the essence of the story... And what they're changing, even though it's different from the original, it's still true to the original. Unlike other things where they just go way off the reservation, which I really hate that type of thing.
It reminds me of the, you know, Neon Genesis Evangelion on TV, and the manga written by one of the show's staff writers or staff, which again went in a different direction but did things differently. But still, you know, kind of remain true to what the original piece was.
I'm almost thinking of something like Transformers live action, like just taking aesthetics, but, you know, it's not the same story.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one vehemently.
Well, why?
In which way?
Yeah.
Just like they're not really interested. I know, like, you know, with Transformers, like Michael Bay's Transformers, they... You know, the humans interact with the Autobots. I get that from the original cartoon. But they're going in a different direction, and they're, like, written not, like, with foreknowledge. It's, like, movie per movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. You're agreeing with me, I think.
All right, fair enough.
I think so, too, yeah.
Because I'm not saying it's good.
Oh, okay, never mind. I'm sorry, yeah.
Source material.
My apologies.
I'm saying that's what I don't like.
Okay, sorry. I didn't hear that. My apologies.
And a lot of remakes of different things do that. Where, yeah, they just take essence, but they're not really trying to retell the same story in any kind of way.
Yeah, you can feel like the lack of concern. They're like, oh, I'm on this project. Okay, what are some elements? Like, I don't actually care about the source material. I'm just kind of making my own story with it. Like Rian Johnson doing as his Star Wars.
Well, hang on, sir.
Like,
please.
No, it is like that, but it's...
I get that, but save that for later. Sorry for
interrupting.
No, it is like that, but I also think it's like what has happened to Witcher. Even though I'm not an expert on the source material for Witcher, I know the first season, which I really liked, was more close to the source material, even though they already did some of their own things with it. But they've just completely, the creators of that show, have just totally made it their own thing after season one. And I can't even bear to watch anymore. Like, I'm upset about that one, because I really thought the first season was really good and really strong. And, you know, I watched like one or two episodes of the stuff that came after season one. I'm done. And it sucks, because it was really good. And now it's nothing to me. And that's sad.
Yeah, and you know, back in the day when the MCU first started, that's the same thought that I always had with the MCU. It was like, oh, you take the barest bones of what these characters are and you just do whatever you want with it. And I thought that they kept just kind of ruining characters at the start of that. Eventually they turned it around and I was okay with them. You know, this is their own universe. That's fine. But at the start of the universe, it really pissed me off. And occasionally it still does. I'm still bitter about Namor a bit. And Thor. I feel like Thor is just the worst version of that character that I've ever seen is the MCU version. And that still just pisses me off.
But. Adaptations are allowed, and
yes.
It's to each their own, of course. Yeah, no, I agree. There's some things that the MCU has done to, I guess, revitalize a character that probably never, you know, got as much as popular as they did in the comics. But at the same time, there are others where you just cannot agree with the direction they're taking with this one character. It's like, ah, but it's, you know, they did so much more with this character in the comics. Say, you know, obviously Namor and Thor is the example you're using.
Yeah, at least the ones that hurt the most.
Yeah, where there's like a lot of potential that this character has in the comics. So it's like, oh, let's see that like potential for movies. And well, yeah. I think that also goes with, you have to, these are movies, not TV shows, even though I know the MCU itself is like a TV show. Unfortunately, it's like an issue. These it should be doing that, by the way. I kind of wish that the MCU covers were now like, or their movie covers were, or posters are like comic book covers. That'd be kind of cool.
That could be cool.
They won't do that, but you know, that's what it is. It's just like, here's an issue of Thor, like Thor the Dark World, or Thor Ragnarok, Thor Love and Thunder. It's like, all right, so what story do we have here for Thor?
Yeah, and you were just reminding me. Yeah, one of the things that the MCU still does that pisses me off is they'll take villains and they'll strip them away, and it'll basically just be the villain in name only. That I just feel like is just wasting great material. They consistently do that, and I don't know why.
It's like a one shot comic. Not really. Not even like one shot comics. A really expensive one at that.
Yeah, I think if the One Piece live action was doing with its characters what you're describing, like with MCU, etc., I think it would be an utter disaster. If they were reimagining these like key characters on the good side and the bad side, it would be, yeah, that would be a disaster.
It just goes back to the idea that I think we should be asking ourselves, or we should be like these standards that we really should be holding ourselves to, which is like less is more. I think it's better to you know, have something that is only there for a while and have it be remembered fondly than like, you know, have it be oversaturated. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
It does, but I think there's a way that you can keep things going. If you have like the right people with the like the right mindset, like guiding the ship, so to speak. And also, you know, not trying to like over release or produce too much at a time.
Mm.
I think things can be sustained. It's just such a difficult balance, like in execution, which is why it hasn't happened very many times with very many properties over a long period of time.
I mean, these guys, the showrunners for One Piece, the Netflix and the One Piece, they definitely have a lot of experience, or at least examples to look back on. As
it's crazy how it's the same production studio who made Cowboy Bebop live action.
But is it the same showrunners? That's the question.
Not sure. I have to look into it.
Okay. Because I suspect that this is one of those things where they're like, okay, this didn't work for us. This didn't work for us. And they just keep adapting, and or they keep seeing.
Oh, that's what's been reported. I you know, I don't know the truth.
Caleb, there's your disposable media theory again.
With them just kind of abandoning those other shows.
They try something out, doesn't work, and they move on to the next project.
Except they're course correcting, where it seems like generally other studios don't really course correct, or they don't do it in the correct way.
I mean, if they want to do that, then bring back Cowboy Bebop. I'm not saying you should, I'm just saying like, well, you know, I obviously I can't maybe do that anymore, but it's like, if One Piece is a success, maybe bring Cowboy Bebop back, because it's like, okay, well, now we know what to do properly.
Yeah, if somehow you could pretend like the first one never existed, yet they could learn the lesson, then I think they could make an incredible Cowboy Bebop live action. It's just, that's probably something that won't be able to be done for a while. Kind of like how you have to let Superman cool off, or Batman, or Spider-Man, like before you try to do a new iteration. There probably would need to be some time before they could attempt again.
Yeah, or Godzilla. I guess they keep doing that, little batches. They used to do that all the time.
Well, certainly.
Godzilla's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It's a very strange franchise.
Especially how you have something, it's a dead horse, but when you have something like Shin Godzilla, which is so interesting and fresh and feels good, and then to just basically let it be like a standalone.
Yeah.
That's just wild. That's so weird. What goes on behind the scenes that, whereas you'll make sequels to mediocre things or try to expand mediocre things, but then you have like a diamond in the rough and you just let it sit there as its own. That's so weird.
Yeah, it seems ever since the, I guess, Godzilla 2000, they just were like, yeah, we've overdone the sequel thing. Let's just try new stuff each time. And I think it's kind of worked. I don't know. It's weird.
it's just all over the place. I mean, like, yeah.
It's all about being grounded.
Yeah, and this new one looks really interesting. I'm very, very curious for it to come out and see what it looks like.
Oh, I'll be there. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I'm all in on Godzilla, all the good, the bad, and the ugly. Even though the more I watch, it's more bad and ugly. But I don't care.
Aw.
Per capita, I have to admit, that's how it seems to me with Godzilla in general.
It's fair.
But even mediocre Godzilla or Godzilla universe is okay for me. Yeah, some of it is really mailed in, or I don't know, WTF is going on with some certain things.
Especially during the Heisei era. Oh boy.
Of them help. I still think that I would like definitely want to like you do after the game is done, then I'll like don't worry, I'm not gonna like get to like, you know, 99% of the story before I go beat Ganon. It's like, all right, let's do a Korok run.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Knock out the story, have fun with some of the other side quests, and then carry it over into the Tears of the Kingdom. Because, like, before Tears came out, like I told Caleb just 2 weeks ago, that I think Breath of the Wild is the best single-player game I've ever played in my entire life. Of any era of video games. And that being said, once you start playing Tears for about an hour, like from beginning, you realize that as amazing as Breath of the Wild was, it feels like an early beta of Tears of the Kingdom. Like literally what a beta is. It's the same game, but it feels like so stripped down. And so it feels like, it doesn't feel that way like when you're just only playing that game, but once you play the sequel, you feel like you're playing a skeleton of a game with Breath of the Wild. Like, unfinished, unformed.
Well, should we get this started?
Yeah, we'll talk about this more later.
I'll just say one more thing. Not on video games, but as of recording, they just announced today the release date of Avatar 1 and 2 on 4K disc. I'm so happy. They finally announced it for June 20th. I was reading the tech specs of the 4K disc. There was things that were confusing to me. I don't know if you guys are that much into the tech specs. Like, you guys understand, like, average bit rate for, like, a movie on Blu-ray or 4K? Are y'all, like, familiar with what that measures and what that means?
I could probably familiarize myself quickly, but go ahead and say it.
Well, the basic just, like, back in the days when we just had Blu-rays, like, you could watch one Blu-ray and go, wow, this looks like pristine, and then you could watch another one and be like, whoa, this looks really compressed and weird. Like, almost like watching something in 480, like, on YouTube, but it's on Blu-ray. And that's because of, like, the compression rate of, like, how much... It's the same concept, really, as 720 and 1080 and all that. It's the same concept, but things would be encoded differently. Like, in other words, like, if you had one episode of a show and you maxed out the specs on a Blu-ray for just like 30 minutes of content, that would be like insane bitrate, because you know what I'm saying? Like, because you're just dedicating the whole entire storage space to one episode of 30 minutes. But let's say for some reason you wanted to put 10 30-minute episodes on one Blu-ray disc, it's technically possible, but you'd have to reduce the bitrate of every episode. So, you know what I'm saying? So they look kind of shittier. So that's the basic rundown of what we're talking about. So so with 4K, average bit rates are considerably higher because obviously they're like a denser, bigger storage capacity to regular Blu-rays. So a Blu-ray at its best would be like an average 25 megabytes per minute. I don't know. But 25 would be like a maxed out Blu-ray. But and so some Blu-rays would be in the 13, some would be 15. If it was a DVD, they would max out at like 7 on this scale. And advanced DVD Blu-ray players, you can hit like the details button and it'll show you like the real-time bitrate, because it'll vary. Like when you're just watching static titles, it might only be using like 1 or 0.7. But if it's like an intense action scene, then it'll like completely max out the display rate. Not the display rate, that's not the right word. Bit rate? Anyway, so like I said, a Blu-ray at its best would be like about 25. But a 4K disc can go up to like 90. And now that's not normal. That's like the max end. More normal is like around 60 or something like that when you're actually watching the movie, whatever you're watching. So for whatever reason, Avatar 1 has a higher bit rate than Way of the Water. And that just seems like a really weird... I want to know why that is. Like, what that has to do with. Why would... And it's not just a little bit higher. It's, like, quite a bit higher. And they're both going to look amazing. I just want to know why is one significantly higher on data than the other one. I don't know. That's a weird thing. Oh, also... whatever studio they're with, it's Disney. That's right. Disney. That's why. Cause Disney doesn't produce their discs, or usually doesn't produce them with Dolby Vision. So there's no Dolby Vision, just standard, HDR 10.
That's a shame.
It is, but still good news. Still looking forward to those. Still no official date on True Lies in the Abyss yet. It's supposed to be this year, so maybe fall, winter for those two movies.
Yeah, I don't mind the idea of them separating it for everybody's dollar, because like you drop it all in one day, it's like, all right, well, we're gonna have to like wait a few months. So if they, you know, spread it out throughout the year, I think that might be a good thing.
I'm fine with that too. It's just True Lies and Abyss should have been out already. That's the thing about those.
You're right. They should have been out first, but I guess Way of Water, given that it has been 6 months since they left the theater, since it has been 6 months since it was in theaters, it is now the time to release it.
Almost the entire Greatest Generation has passed away waiting for The Abyss and True Lies.
You're not wrong.
To come out on 4K.
Let me pose to you this question, or that maybe this, like, this isn't a reason, Eric, but what if the reason Avatar takes up a lot, like Avatar 1 takes up a much more higher bit rate, is because the technology in Way of Water is there for it to have a lower bit rate, but because Avatar is a older movie, it requires a lot more megabytes or whatever bit rate it is to like get the maximum amount of image that you're telling me about.
I get what you're saying, and like it kind of makes sense, and obviously I'm not an actual expert when it comes to like movie conversion to physical media.
Neither am I, so I gotta lay my cards out.
But you would think, or one would think, that all that stuff would happen while they're actually making the movie, and that once they get a final product, that it just kind of like the finished product just comes out, and you would think that stuff would be negated at that point. But I would like, that's why I'd love an actual engineer in this field to explain this to me. Like, because I know what you're saying. Cause if you're talking about like old video games, like, you know, they didn't have the compression back in the day that they do now. So to do certain things, certain file sizes would have to be really large. And so they could take up more space because modern compression is so much better. It's just, like I said, you would think with the final product, like once it's done, it's done. It's like ready to go. I don't know. It's weird. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we should just jump into this one. Yeah, it's pretty long, so.
The producer is telling us to start, so, yeah, Caleb's getting antsy. Let's get on with this.